Today's scripture reading can be found in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 857. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this word. And we do ask, Lord, from this moment on, really from the beginning of the service, Lord, that you would shine. Father, all of our voices collectively are aimed at pleasing you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would steal the spotlight and that you would be glorified. We ask this in your name. Amen. Who wants to learn a little Greek this morning? You know, today is Orthodox Easter, and sometimes they line up on the same Sunday. So are you ready? Christos Anesti. There's no Greeks in here, is there? Just the guy behind the pulpit, apparently, huh? Because the follow-up to Christos Anesti is Elephos Anesti. So let's try that one more time. Your part is Elephos Anesti. Look to the person next to you and say, Elephos Anesti. That just means, Christos Anesti, Christ is risen. Elephos Anesti is indeed, he has risen. Okay? And so if you're Greek, on Easter Sunday, you walk in church and you greet everybody by saying, Christos Anesti. And they will respond, Elephos Anesti. Christ is risen, indeed he has. So there's a little bit of Greek for you this morning. Today is Easter, and we have an encouraging word from the Apostle Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, Peter starts out his letter very encouraging. There's a lot of encouragement here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he launches right into something he calls a living hope. Why? Why does he start this way? Well, we have to remember that at the time when Peter was writing this, in those days, this was a very anti-Christian society. We take for granted living in the United States, don't we? So think of perhaps receiving this letter somewhere in the Middle East. There are Christian bookstores all around us. Well, there used to be one around us. Now that's out of business. But we can go home and turn on the television and we can listen to Christian preachers. We can listen to messages on the radio. We take for granted that the message of Christ has absorbed and permeated our society. Well, that was not the case in these days. So Peter starts out with a shot in the arm to encourage them, to lift them up, to speak about a living hope. Because all through this letter, the Apostle Peter addresses some harsh things that they're going through. Overbearing bosses is one of them. Overbearing bosses. Threatened by unbelieving spouses. Ridiculed by skeptical neighbors and associates. And on the horizon for these Christians loomed a violent persecution. All of these things the Apostle Peter understood. And that's why he writes, you have a living hope. You have a living hope. So what is this living hope? What does this mean? Well, for the Christian, this hope means confidence. For the Christian, this means confidence. When you and I talk about hope, Sometimes we talk about things that we're not very confident in. That's not a living hope. The opposite of living hope is dead hope. But you see, these Christians were certain. And why were they certain? The apostle tells us it is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was certain. You know, if I say to you in the beginning of football season, I really hope the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year. I really hope that they're going to do it. And you'll probably do what you just did, which is laugh. That's not a certain hope. I don't even know what that's called, wanting the 49ers to win a Super Bowl. It's a miracle, right? But that's not a living hope. This is a living hope. That's why the author of Hebrews says this: we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of hope to the very end. And then Peter goes on and talks about an inheritance. How many of us are waiting for the phone call from some rich uncle? Hi, I've decided to leave you in my will all of my money. Wouldn't that be amazing? We all sort of have these fake hopes and dreams where someone would pick us for their inheritance. Some of us use the inheritance as leverage to get the kids to do what we need, right? I'll write you out of the will. But look at what Peter says. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance. Unlike earthly inheritances, this is a certain inheritance. That's why we have hope. Our inheritance is secure. Why? Because Jesus is no longer dead. He's alive. He is alive and he's living. You see, this hope is a living hope, and that's really beautiful. This hope is in flesh and blood. It's not in a list of duties. It's not in a bunch of rituals. Could you imagine if that was the case? Every single person in this room would flunk. We would not be here celebrating a living hope. No, our hope is in a person. Our hope is in Jesus, the Son of God, that was obedient and loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and was beaten, put in a tomb, but 3 days later, he arose. He's living. He's triumphant. And so our living hope is not in a list of rules. No, it is in a person, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first fruits. We could look at him as the guarantee. You see, he went before us. Everything that he did before us, now we follow in his vein. He's the first fruits. That gives us hope, a living hope. Now, because we emulate him, because we have this hope, we learn to see life through a certain lens. Author Martin Seligman wrote a book called Learned Optimism. And in the book, he says that everybody has what's called an explanatory style. An explanatory style. It's just how you see life. So he runs this scenario. He said, let's say, for example, you have a date at 7 p.m. and you're sitting in the restaurant and it's now 7:45. Your date is a no-show. Now, those are just the cold facts. But he talks about this explanatory style through which we filter things. So he lists, well, one person may think they stood me up, and you get mad. Another person says, well, they don't love me anymore. That's why they're not here. So instead of being mad, you're sad. Another person may think, oh my goodness, they must have gotten in a car accident. Well, now you're worried. Someone else thinks, well, they must be working overtime to pay for this meal. So they're grateful, naive, but grateful. Or maybe they're with somebody else, so now you're jealous. Or you may be thinking, finally, this gives me a good reason to dump them. So you're relieved. But it's interesting that he talks about this explanatory style. It's how you see the world. And you have one person sitting in the restaurant, and the other person didn't show up, and everybody's thinking these different thoughts. It's interesting. You're all sitting here thinking different thoughts right now. It's dictated by how you see the world. And Peter says that this living hope will dictate how you and I see the world, how we live in the world. This is just the way it goes. And it makes sense, because kids do this all the time. They idolize someone, so they start to dress and walk a certain way. They start to act a certain way. Perhaps you did that when you were little. I know I did. My neighbor growing up nicknamed me Big Noise. That's right, Big Noise, because some of you, I'm going to lose some of you right now. Who remembers He-Man?
I love
you. Wow. Whoa. Okay. Wow, I did not expect that response. She loves He-Man. Angela loves He-Man. I love He-Man. Not now, but when I was little. And so why I was Big Noise is because for a radius of about a block, you could hear Pastor Anthony saying, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. And I literally thought I transformed into He-Man. That's right. Who? I'm sorry. I've got the mic. This living hope gives us hope. We emulate Jesus. We have hope because of Him. And we live that way as hopeful people. Palm Sunday, a church in Egypt was attacked. And this week, I read an interview with one of the members of the churches. The interview says, she shared her grief with me. One of the churches bombed was her home church. She grew up in that church and knew every person and their families who were killed or injured. She said it would be like looking at your congregation on a Sunday morning and picking at random several of them to no longer see anymore. She wept and prayed. And then she straightened up, wiped her face, and said these words, but we are Easter people. Amen. Amen. But we are Easter people. When your explanatory style is locked on Jesus, suddenly your life will get very powerful. Your life will get very powerful, and people will note. Whether you're in high school, people will note. If you're in college, people will take note. When you're at work, people will take note. When you're at play, people will take note. Because if your life resembles the life of Christ, people will notice. That's what a living hope does. So, I'd like to conclude with just this simple thought. While reading the Gospel of Mark, we read this. While Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the high priest's servants came. When he saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But Peter denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about. Then he went out to the entryway and the rooster crowed. When the servant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, "This man is one of them." But he again denied it. And after a little while, those standing there said to Peter again, "You certainly are one of them." Then he started to curse and to swear with an oath, "I don't know this man you're talking about." There Peter denied Jesus three times. And then he witnessed the resurrected Christ. And this same Peter that denied Jesus three times is the first one to stand up in the book of Acts and preach to thousands of people. I don't know. Isn't that amazing? Here we find him in a courtyard, ashamed, denying Jesus in front of who, really? But after he met the resurrected Christ, the risen Lord, he was bold as a lion, stood up and preaching. In fact, when you read the book of Acts, it's Peter and John who were preaching Christ and sat in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of the officials, and they told him, keep his mouth shut. But he didn't. In fact, the Bible says, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Why does Peter understand the living hope? Because he experienced it. And once we experience the living hope, our lives become very powerful. Let's pray. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we have hope. Not in ourselves, not in our own abilities and gifts, no. We have hope in you. And Lord, we're thankful for that, because without that anchor, we would be lost. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord. Amen. Let us conclude by singing hymn number 45, Crown Him with Many Crowns.